first-year head coach, has spent a little bit of time at Cal as well. I was told yesterday I had breakfast with Troy Taylor.
Oh, yeah.
He told me to tell you hello.
Troy's a great guy.
So you'll get to, not this year, but in years to come.
That's right.
Get the scheme against
him. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That'll be a challenge. Heck of a coach.
Well, and we're not real sure at this point what to expect from Utah's new offense. We're not really sure what to expect now from Cal. A lot of talk about your influence in the program. For those wondering, I mean, how would you describe what your main goal has been as far as the influence you're trying to add to the Cal program?
Well, I think it's just kind of building on our culture there. I think a lot of what they've done has been really good. Obviously, with a lot of change with new coaching staff, offense, defense, special teams, strength and conditioning. So everything's been brand new for our players, but to continue to build on kind of the core values of our program, you know, recruiting guys that are smart, guys that are tough and resilient, and guys that care about the team. So those things and kind of, you know, on a daily basis, working that into our off-season workouts, our practices, and those things, because that's what it takes for us to be at our best. And we're all excited to be there. I know there's a lot of energy in our building right now, and guys are looking forward to getting back to practice.
You were on Tedford's staff before.
Yeah, that's right.
You played at Oregon. You've been at SC. You've been at Washington. How much does that help you knowing the conference and especially having been at the school before when you're jumping in as a first-year head coach?
Well, I think it does help you navigate some of it because every program is a little bit different and every university operates a little bit in a different manner. So I think having those experiences is definitely helpful. Had a great experience there with Coach Tedford and had a really good run with some excellent players. So I think maybe the best way to recruit there, have a good idea of how we should recruit there and the areas and how we go about it, the type of player that is going to fit the profile for us at Cal, and again, just, you know, privileged to be in that position and excited to be back.
You know, a lot of football players struggle with the academic side. You know, we've talked a lot about Stanford's academics. I played with guys who probably couldn't spell Stanford. I don't know that I could at the time. How difficult is the academic environment at Cal Berkeley as well?
Yeah, it's challenging, and it's one of those things in recruiting. We identify that right away, and when we get guys on campus, we talk to them very bluntly about it, and the good thing about it is challenging, but the, you know, the reward is worth it. And you have to be a motivated student. You know, you got to get up and go to class and put your time in. And our belief that you can have it both ways. You can have the great education, the experience in the classroom, which Cal can provide, and you can go play championship football. And that's what the type of guy we're looking for and targeting. We feel like with our location, the academics there and the school, that we'll be able to attract the right type of guy for our program.
Talking to Cal head coach Justin Wilcox here on ESPN 700. So how's the program different? We know what Sonny Dykes was, and Sonny's now gone. So what was job number one for you when you came in to put your imprint on the program?
Well, I think it's there was really three things at the time. It was getting to know our players, putting together a coaching staff, which we feel really fortunate to get, and then, you know, kind of moving into recruiting. You know, that was the first 2 weeks. And then as we move forward, just teaching the guys how we were going to do things, you know, on a daily. And it's not like you have one meeting and everything's understood, you know. Well, this is how we're going to do it, and everybody's got it. You know, it's just constant. And so whether it's, you know, the expectations of how we operate in the in strength and conditioning or in meetings or on campus or any of those things. But I will say the guys in our program, when we got there, their attitude towards us and the change was exceptional, and they're the reason that it's gone as well as it's gone.
Well, and you guys are going to be running a bit of a different scheme now on defense too?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, offensively, defensively, special teams, strength and conditioning, it's all new to them.
Well, so which transition then is going to take the most time, offense, defense, special teams, in your opinion?
Well, that's a good question, but we're going to find out. You know, we don't have a whole lot of time to sit around and say, well, it's different from last year. We have smart guys. They're into it. They're in the meetings. They ask great questions. They want to know why. They want to know how, and that's more important than anything. So we feel like with that coupled with the guys we have coming back, we're excited about the group, and we don't expect it to take a long time. And they, if you looked at spring practice one to practice 15, I mean, it looked like two different sports. I mean, practice one, you know, I'm not so sure it looked like football, but by practice 15, there was a significant amount of growth, and you saw that. We're going to need to continue that throughout fall camp and through the season.
You got personnel that can make that transition. I mean, James Looney is just on the defensive line. We talked to him earlier. He's a ball of energy. We love talking to him, but he's so versatile on the field. Yeah. You could play him at nose or end. You probably put him at linebacker a little bit if you want. How much does a guy like that individually just help your scheme on defense?
Absolutely. I mean, we're excited about James and his future because he athletically has some really unique skills, and he's a very smart guy. He wants to be a good football player. He loves the game, which I think is so important. People won't talk about that stuff as much anymore because some guys love being a football player. That guy loves playing football, you know, and so that's important. So a guy like him kind of setting the tone for that group will be critical.
You're a defensive-minded guy. Your background is defense. You're a coordinator. Utah's head coach, Kyle Whittingham, background is defense. It's always kind of been that way. That's not always the case necessarily in this conference. Yeah. There's a lot of offensive guys. There's a few defensive guys. How does that, as you now, your first-year head coach, are you a guy that's hands-on everywhere, or are you taking that CEO, or are you still kind of feeling that out right now?
Well, I'll be involved with the defense just because that's my background.
That's your thing.
And we got great coaches on defense. Tim DeRuiter, Jerry Azzanero, as good as there is at defensive line in the country, Gerald Alexander, Tony Tuioti. We have great coaches. I'll be involved there because that's my background. On offense, it'll be more of a macro level. Bo Baldwin's our offensive coordinator. Steve Greatwood, O-line, Marcus Tuiasosopo. So we got a ton of great experience on offense. Bo will do a phenomenal job running the offense, so it'll be really macro level on offense.
Steve Greatwood, along with many other coaches, he was at Oregon for like 3 decades.
He was there a long time.
What's that transition? My dad played with Steve Greatwood in the 70s at Oregon and then told me my whole life that Steve was going to offer me out of high school. He didn't that
year. Do you want to call him right now?
Not that I still think about it or anything.
Right, I was going to say.
No, but what's that transition like been for him being at Oregon for so long?
So I've known him a long time, you know, since the early 90s, and think the world of him as a person first and foremost. And his track record as a coach is what it is. I mean, it speaks for itself. So I want to say that whatever day that I was officially hired, I mean, he was there the next morning. And, you know, he's done it a long time, but every day, I mean, he's got as much energy as anybody when it comes to coaching. It's what he's passionate about, and the players benefit from that. We benefit from it as a coaching staff, and so it's been great.
Who are you close with in the league? Are you tight with any of the head coaches? Are you friendly? Are you good friends with anybody in the league?
I've got to know a couple of them. I worked for Coach Pete for a number of years.
Yeah.
And so obviously know him.
Boise.
Yeah, and have a history with Coach Pete and think the world of him. And getting to know some of the other guys, but not a ton, you know.
And that's kind of common now if you see, you know, Kyle Whittingham's not the most social guy. Because this job takes 95-plus hours a week. There's a lot going on there. What do you want your players to think of you as? Do you envision yourself that way? Do you have a goal for the way you think your players envision you as a coach?
What do you mean by that?
Well, because I think Kyle Whittingham for a lot of years, you know, I was a youngster watching Kyle Whittingham. I played for him for a lot of years. And I thought, man, is this guy trying to be this old, hard-ass, old-school guy?
Well,
but he really is. And I think now... but he told us one time, I must have been 19, he said, if you think football's tough, you just wait till you have kids, till you have a family, and you'll see that. And I rolled my eyes at the time, and now I have kids, and I think about it all the time. And this old, hard-ass dude who was – it wasn't a phony thing.
Right.
And I think he put that out there to show us what life could be if you followed that path. And I appreciate that now. And I'm not sure if he thought of it at the time or if that's just his way.
Yeah, I think it's just you got to be yourself, you know, because when things get tough, that's what you're always going to come back to. And, you know, for us, it's going to be kind of the same messaging in terms of what we're looking for our players. That's what we need to emulate, you know, being smart and tough and resilient and being a team first person. And I think everything we do is just, you know, football in a lot of ways is the best class a lot of these guys will ever take, you know. And that's not to minimize any education that they get, but the lessons you learn along the way, which is our job to help teach them, are invaluable. And they'll stay with you, like you said, for the rest of your life. And that's our job. That's my role, is to create that environment.
You set goals as a coach for every team and every year, and every team is different. Have you set goals with this group yet?
Yeah, our goal is to win. I mean, every week we line up, it's to win the game.
So now, you're not looking big picture. Let's make a bowl. Let's win 6. You just want to go out week in, week out.
You win the next game.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. And that's always going to be the goal. Now, goal, you state that goal, and that's what we're going to do, but it's a byproduct of all these other things. And winning is important. Winning is important to us as a team, obviously, but it's important to our school. It's important to our alumni, our student body. And so how we get there is all these other things we're talking about, and it's how we act and how we our culture. It's what we do on a daily basis to get there.
Do you have the same feeling about Corvallis that he does?
I grew up about 25 minutes from Corvallis, so easy.
So you went, but you went to school at Eugene.
I went to school at Eugene, but I grew up right in between them.
In Junction City, right?
You guys should stop there. That's like they got Abby's Pizza. It's just unbelievable.
We drive that road because you don't fly in and out of Corvallis. Yeah. You got to take that back highway back down to the airport.
You got Abby's. You got Dairy Queen if you need ice cream.
You get a Blizzard.
You get a Blizzard. There used to be A&W Root Beer. It's not there anymore.
See, and that's all good. You know, but my dad played at Oregon, and so I know the real facts. And the difficult part about recruiting to Corvallis is 97% of women don't shave their armpits in Corvallis. And I'm not judging. I'm just saying that that adds to the mix.
I don't know how you get that type of data.
Oh, no, I read it online and then
oh, then it makes it true. You're right.
Yeah. It's on the internet, Justin. Come on, it's got to be true.
Coach, look, this stuff is deeply rooted.
He played for Gary Anderson. He got into a fist fight with Gary Anderson. Gary's now a Corvallis guy, and he and Gary just went at it a few minutes ago about this.
I didn't tell him the stat. I chickened out on the incredible stat there. But, you know, my dad played for Oregon, so I almost grew up not only to love Oregon, but I was taught to hate Oregon State. And so it hasn't left me.
Yeah, just in your blood.
College football, man. The rivalry aspect of it matters. I always say this when it comes to Utah and BYU, because if you're just trying to compare the college game to the NFL game, the NFL's better. I think the rivalries are what separates college football and make it great.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
You went to Oregon.
Went to Oregon, yeah.
Who did you grow up as a fan of? Oregon?
Yeah, my dad had played there. My older brother played there, so I kind of –
It was in your blood.
Well, congrats.
Yeah, no. I guess. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
So. He's a Bilotti guy. Who did your dad play for?
Rich Brooks.
Rich Brooks. Rich Brooks.
Yeah, that's right. And obviously, you know, with Coach Greatwood there, there was a lot of history there. But the Oregon program is one that, you know, like Cal, the conference is better when they're good. And you know, we all grew up with them having the notoriety, and they have their identities. And they certainly put that offensive imprint on the conference and give folks nationally this idea that, oh, they're throwing the ball all over the place in the Pac-12.
Yeah, but I think that's you gotta be a little careful there. I think people run the ball really, really well. And obviously some of the formations that you see, they spread the field, but how they get the ball to their playmakers, whether it's screen game or throwing the ball down the field, but also the run game and the quarterback run game. And that makes – there's challenges in that, obviously, for defenses, the reason people do it.
Will you guys get more involved with your quarterback running the ball this year?
That's a possibility.
Davis Webb's like 260 pounds last year. That was a little different.
We'll see. Yeah,
maybe.
Well, Utah doesn't play Cal, so you can tell us everything that you're going to
do. Oh, sure, yeah.
Everybody in Salt Lake City.
Let me give you the first 15
everybody in Salt Lake
for the
City,
first game.
You don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, thanks for coming by.
You bet.
Coach, great
talking to you guys.
We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
All
Justin Wilcox with us here on the show today, live from Hollywood.